My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from the words of my groaning? Psalm 22:1. The first verse in Psalm 22 expresses a species of suffering that never at any other time was felt in this world and never will again, the vengeance of the Almighty upon his child. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? R. H. Ryland. Good morning and welcome to Through Their Message. My name is Rhonda, and I would like to invite you to come and join me this morning at 9 a.m. for Sunday School at Foundations Bible Church. And then together we can enter into worship at 10:15 and afterwards get to know one another in a time of fellowship. It is the Lord that we come to meet and enter into worship with. And so let your heart sing. Let your spirit join in prayer. Leave the troubles of the world outside of the door and come and worship the Lord our God. And within you will find a time of reflection, a time of examination, a time of peace, and knowing that no matter what is happening outside the walls of the sanctuary, God is yet in control, and nothing will thwart his plans. Nothing. Have you ever taken the time to sit with this passage of Scripture and try to see, perhaps for the first time, clearly, the agony of Jesus on the cross as he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? With the fullness of sin and its separation from God, and as his body, torn and battered, was about to give way to death, he now, because of the sin he bore, yours and mine, he knew a loneliness. And in that moment, he knew something he had never known before. He was alone in that moment. He had replaced sinners, you and I, upon that cross. He was there not for anything he had done, but because of you and me and for us. He had been taunted and mocked for hours, and those now around him, they hurled insults at him, and the disciples had abandoned him, and he now bore the wrath of God in our place. And never a man was such an outcast. Never was such suffering known to an innocent man. Yes, he was the Son of God, God in the flesh, a full representation of God the Father, and he was perfect in every way. While in the flesh, with the temptations facing him that each of us face today, it was there that he showed us how to overcome. He overcame by the power within him, that same power that as children born of God, born of the Spirit, we have within us. The difference between the power being used by him and us is that he submitted to the will of God, even to the point of death. And we fight to hold on to this life, taking more than we give and picking and choosing just what it is we will give. And so the power within us is limited in scope by our choices because we do not fully submit to God and where he may lead us. This again brings us to recognize the need to dress in the armor of God, not on particular days that we know will be hard, not on days when we face making tough decisions, but every day. In all things, at all times. We are to be prepared, as was Jesus. We cannot on our own fight the things of this world. It is stronger than the strongest of us, and there is only one who has the power to stop, to hold at bay, or to destroy what comes against us. Jesus set an example for us when in the garden, as he prayed and he asked that the cup may be taken from him. But he did not stop there in his prayer. He continued on in faith and set to completing the task that he had been sent for, and in so submitting to the will of the Father as he spoke, "Not my will be done, but thy will be done." Even before the actual physical pain of the cross, Jesus begins to bear the weight of the task ahead of him. As he cries for Jerusalem, as he looks at Judas and tells him to quickly do what he must do, as he finds those he brought with him to watch, as he prays in the garden, asleep, not once, but three times, and as he is mounted upon the beams of the cross and the weight of the sins of the world are laid upon him, and when the pain comes so heavily upon him in body, he cannot see the Father through the veil of pain that has fallen upon him, separating him from the Father, bringing about a feeling he has never known before, that of loneliness. It is an emotion, a feeling. We, as the people of the flesh, we know it and give way to it way too often. In 2 Corinthians 4, 7 and 8, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. His feelings will not get him through this time of intensity, but his faith will. Jesus is fully God and fully man. And as the heaviness of our sin fell upon him, that which he knew was veiled by what he felt, and our feelings will withhold truth from us, and will keep us from seeing God in all his glory. Feelings are driven by our sinful nature, and it will not, under any circumstances, submit, but it will conceal, deceive, lie to our hearts and minds, so that we continue on a downhill slide. That is, until the day we meet Christ. The just shall live by faith and not by feeling. Richard Capel. This saying should strike at our very hearts. Jesus as a man is here broken. He now knows separation. And he calls out to God the Father and he asks, "Why have you forsaken me?" And yet there was trust and there was hope. There the promise held of God's faithfulness. Listen to Timothy Rogers from the Treasury of David on Psalm 22. How will our very hearts melt with love when we remember that as we have been distressed for our sins against him, so he was in greater agonies for us. We have had gall and wormwood, but he tasted a more bitter cup. The anger of God has dried up our spirits, but he was scorched with a more flaming wrath. He was under violent pain in the garden and on the cross, ineffable was the sorrow that he felt, being forsaken by his Father, deserted by his disciples, affronted and reproached by his enemies, and under a curse for us. This Son was under a doleful eclipse. This living Lord was pleased to die, and in his death was under the frowns of an angry God. The face was then hid from him that had always smiled before, and his soul felt that horror and that darkness which it had never felt before. So that there was no separation between the divine and human nature, and yet he suffered pains equal to those which we had deserved to suffer in hell forever. God so suspended the efficacies of his grace that it displayed in that hour none of its force or virtue on him. He had no comfort from heaven, and none from his angels. And like a lion that is heard in the forest, so he roared and cried out, though there was no despair in him when he was forsaken. And yet there was trust and hope in these words, "My God, my God." In Hebrews 4 and 15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, and yet was without sin." In the flesh, all feelings and emotions are heightened, and they will rise to question, to defend, to make excuses, to excuse, and when we act on those feelings, we deny our faith. Jesus, of course, did not give way to these feelings and emotions. He showed us how to overcome them by keeping his eyes on God, even when he felt that he had been abandoned. No rational decisions can be made while in a heightened state of emotional turmoil or breakdown. But faith will call us back and will remind us of who God is and of whose we are. What we are dealing with at the time may not change. Those words spoken by Jesus on the cross near the end of his time there, he did not speak in fear, emotionally. Instead, he spoke from his heart. He assessed his situation. He was drawn back to remember God is near as he spoke to him and surrendered his spirit to him and gave his last breath. The Spirit of God will lead us if we will submit and follow. Yes, in the blink of an eye, in a searing moment of pain, we will look around us and everything will look different in that moment. But we are called. We are drawn back by our faith to believe, to continue to trust no matter where we may find ourselves in that moment. It is by God's will, by God's grace, and by his forgiving grace that we will find ourselves on the other side of what we are facing. Let us, like our Lord, stand on our faith, increase in our trust, and hold firmly to our hope in Jesus as salvation. It is only because of the great love shown us that we have been spared what Jesus endured. He, who knew no sin became sin. As you journey to the cross this season, don't just stop with Jesus died for you or for me, but seek to understand more fully the sacrifice of his death, the pain he bore in your name, and thank him as perhaps you have never thanked him before. Psalm 22:30-31 reminds us prosperity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord, and they will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, for he has done this.